Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to talk to you today to finish off the year 2017. It's about the believer's resource. It's about believers' resources taken from 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 1 to 4. And if I were to help you to see today's scripture, my conviction is always helping people to be dependent on the text of the scripture. Dependent on the text. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. First of all, let me read the first two verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Just keep your eyes on these two verses for a moment. You will notice that Simon Peter uses the word a servant and apostle. He used the word apostle because he was addressing to the people, telling them that his full authority is in Christ. Bear in mind 1 Peter and 2 Peter, the gospel of 1 Peter and 2 Peter are all summed up with Christ as the center of everything. The center of all that you do, the center of your life. And this is a very, very appropriate book to understand what he means by servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. But the beautiful part is not the word apostle, but the beautiful part is that he used the word servant first, and then he used the word apostle. Did you see that? The reason why he used servant first is to tell us very clearly that without servanthood, there is no authority. Are you with me? Without servanthood, there is no authority. And then the second verse, it says this, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So that was the introduction of the second letter. Why he says grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace can never be static. Grace and peace can never be stagnant. Grace and peace can grow and must grow. Grace and peace does not come from human rights. It doesn't come from your own personal way of life. It comes from God and no one else. Grace and peace can grow through the knowledge of God, which means to say, grace and peace can be multiplied through knowing God. If you and I do not take your Christian faith seriously, you decide that you want to do what you want to do without acknowledging that you are dependent on God's instructions, you will be finding out or discovering for yourself that it's impossible to grow in the grace of God and the peace of God. Why is it family do not have peace in the house? Because they do not want to experience God. They do not know Him. The Bible says grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace increases and becomes effective in us. So brothers and sisters, please understand God's infinite reservoir of grace and peace are always available. You can grow more in grace. You can grow more in peace. There is no such thing that this is the only grace I have. You can grow more in grace as long as you grow in knowing Jesus Christ. You see, friends, we want to grow in our knowledge. That's why we have Bible studies. But this knowledge is not just a head knowledge, but through the Bible studies, we encourage you to allow this knowledge to seep into the fiber of your being so that you will grow to experience Him. You see, 2 Peter does not promise us everything we want or think that we need. It only promises you that you and I need in Christ. That's what He promised you. You know, sometimes we have Christians who find themselves very established but not progressing. They are very established. They know that, and they think that they are a Christian so that they can, they have this kind of insurance to escape hell. And therefore, when Jesus comes, I will be in heaven. Brothers and sisters, the moment of truth, next year, 2018, is going to reveal to you from the scriptures that you will not think that by having salvation in Christ, and then after that, you leave that aside, not knowing that you need to grow in Christ, then you will miss out the glory of God. The moment of truth will be revealed. I want you to see in verse 3 is the divine power. This is the time I want to show you in verse 3 and 4. And today's passage, I want you to keep that in mind right now. Verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through, keep that word, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And then verse 4, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. With these verses that I've shared with you, I want you to see three areas here. First of all, the source of this life and godliness is divine power. We have the divine power. Secondly, we have the goal, we have the purpose, we have the objective for what this divine power is meant to be godly people. And the third thing is that the means by which this power produces. Sometimes we know about it, but we do not know how. So we have these three areas that we need to look at intensely and ask the Lord to help us. Somebody say amen. Help us to understand this truth. In reference to what Peter is saying is that he is declaring that Christian life is not a fire insurance. Christian life is not a fire insurance. Christian life is not about how you feel today. Are you with me? It's not how you feel today. You can be feeling bad or you can be feeling joyful. It does not matter. What matters is what the Bible says, what Christian life should be. Are you there? Yeah. So let's go into this. If you look very carefully, the way of godliness from Peter's passage here, the way of godliness is very much equate to eternal life. The moment you reject godliness, you reject eternal life. Wow. That's heavy, isn't it? What a way to preach for 2017 at the end. Heavy message, hallelujah. Are you ready for that? Yes. Let's look at verse 3 again. And I want you to keep your eyes on this. The source is now mentioned. Are you there? The source is now mentioned. The divine power has given us what? Come on, church. Everything. Given us everything. Nothing is exempted. Everything. Can you think of everything? And it says, given us everything we need for godly life. I think most of you will be thinking, everything, man, I'm going to have a $1 million house. Oh, I want to have that Mercedes, the BMW, the Jaguar, everything. You're thinking all of this kind of stuff, am I right? But he says it. That's why it's very crucial. We never read the scripture part of it only. We need the full thing. What did he say? Everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge or our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You and I can never be godly or attain eternal life without the divine power. Oh, some of you, that's why when someone tells me, Pastor, I will try. I say, stop trying. Yeah. Did you see my word here? Hello? Tell a neighbor, stop trying. Come on, you are not very convinced with that.
Stop trying, man. Okay.
Tell a neighbor, stop trying. Why? Because you have the divine power to help you through. Are you there? And what was the divine power? What was the divine power? He said the divine power has given us everything. Everything we need for godly life. Everything that is good for our spiritual life. Everything that we need to grow spiritually. In other words, that your Christian life must always look unto Christ as the sufficiency of your life. I don't know why people say Christian life is so hard. You know why it's hard? Because we try. We try to be a Christian. We try to do this so that a Christian should always look like that. We try. You don't have to try. You have the divine power of Christ available inside of you that has given you everything you need to grow spiritually. What, then, Pastor, why is it that some people just don't grow? I'll tell you why. Because they have rejected Christ. When you have Christ in you, it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Then the divine power is there. Am I right or not? The Bible says when you receive Christ, Christ lives in you. Am I right or not? Are you with me? But the moment somebody refuses to be changed and walk away and do what they want to do, that's when they have rejected Christ, in case you are not aware of that. People won't say that because everybody wants to please everybody. The preacher wants to please everybody and pat your back and say, well, you received Christ. Praise God. You are saved. Yes, you are saved. But you need to keep your salvation. You need to walk in your salvation with fear and with a heart that fears the Lord. Amen. People wonder, wow, that is a heavy, heavy message. Somebody say, heavy message. Come on. Praise the Lord. I'll preach to you more. Come on. We now possess everything. Somebody say, amen. We now possess everything. All that we need to live as a Christian life. Jeremiah 2:13 tells us, don't go out and seek for broken cisterns that hold no living water. In other words, Christian, don't be a broken cistern. When the Lord wants to fill your life up, don't be a broken cistern. Every time you come to church with a broken system, you get yourself so excited, the next thing you walk out of this place, you realize, hey, the joy is gone, the grace is gone, the mercy is gone. What happened to me? I thought I was excited when I was in church, yes. It was constantly pouring into your life, but when you went out, because it was a broken system, everything leaked out. You know what's the problem? The problem is this. Our Christian faith is about knowing the set of doctrines is about knowing about God. It's not about knowing God. That is the difference. You see, Christian faith has the power for us to experience God. Are you with me? You can experience God. I don't know why Christian life just go on with their daily chore, never even have a single element of that experience. God wants you to experience not knowing about Him, but is about knowing Him. You know, husband and wives, if you just know about your wife, you can never build a relationship. You got to know your wife or your husband. Am I right about it? If you know about somebody, you may not have a relationship. You know about him. That's about all. Some of us here, we know about each other, but we don't really know each other. So this is a very crucial lesson we need to develop. The Bible tells me that the divine power is necessary for you to grow closer and intimately and grow spiritually more. That's why the Bible says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are led, those who are being guided, those who are surrendered to God, so that one can be led by God, will be called sons of God. The mark of sonship is the mark of the divine power. The mark of the divine power is godliness. Now we know the goal, the source is the divine power. We need to know the goal. We need to know the objective. What's the divine power for? To show off who we are as Christians? There's nothing to show off. We only show forth who Christ is. Are you there? Remember, I do not know why today people talk about the apostleship, but nobody wants to talk about servanthood. Right? Apostleship, wow, it's so glamorous. Apostle Kelvin Singh. Hallelujah. Nice title, isn't it? Man, that's fantastic, isn't it? Next time you walk around and say, hello, Apostle Kelvin Singh. Yes. And I will look up with my head held high. Yes. What can I do for you? But the scripture tells me it's servanthood that comes first. Be willing to sweep the floor. Hallelujah. Be willing to arrange the table. Be willing to do all that we need to do as servants of the living God. That's what God has called. And our goal of becoming that servanthood comes from the divine power. And the divine power energizes us to live a holy life. Christ's power is the source for all believers' sufficiency and perseverance. That means every time when I'm blocked and I'm hindered, but I do not know how to break through, but I persevere. Why? Because the divine power that is in me has given me everything I need to live a godly life. Everything I need to be strong spiritually. Everything I need to be vibrant in my faith. Amen. And I will persevere in Jesus' name. Amen. Because God is my sufficiency. The circumstances may stop you. Power of God who saved you at the very first place is the same power that's going to energize you to live a holy life. A lot of time I hear people say fantastic things about God, but it didn't stay long. It didn't stay long. After about a year, they start to fizzle away in their faith. Why? It's all because they did not allow the divine power to fulfill what God is planning to do in their lives. He says the word. He said the power has been granted to us. Who is the word us? If you look back in verse 1, it's referring to the people of the same faith as Peter. People who are dependent and relying on Christ's righteousness. So, which means to say that divine power is working on people who are dependent on Him, on Christ's righteousness. That will enable us to live a holy life. Sometimes you say, Pastor, it's so hard to live righteously, especially in the midst of this secular world. Brothers and sisters, we are not living according to how great the secular world is. We are living according to the power of Christ in us. Are you with me? If you are oftentimes feeling lousy, is because our mind and our heart is being subjected to the things of this world. And when we see the trouble, we get very frightened. But the Bible tells me that one can be changed into a godly man because of the divine power. You do not need to be the same person a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or 10 years ago. If there's anything that doesn't glorify God, get rid of it, because you have the divine power to work through that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. And if you listen to this, you have the source, you have the goal, but how do I go about with it? That's where I want you to see verse 3. How does the power become active in our lives? Verse 3 says what? Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So the emphasis here is the means. The means of having the power of God to change us and transform us. What does that mean? If you look at verse 2, the Bible says grace and peace is multiplied. Am I right? Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God. Am I right now? And then look at verse 3. He says divine power is granted to us through the knowledge of God. Did you see the parallel thing here? The divine power is granted. And when it is granted unto us through the knowledge, grace and peace will also multiply. Sometimes you wonder where the grace of God is. Father, I don't have enough strength. I don't have your favor. You have. If only that you learn to walk under the divine power of God. Sometimes our attitudes discarded the divine power. When it is available, we just ignore it. We try and do everything ourselves. Why? Because emotionally, we override the promises of God here. Are you there? The promises of God. I'm teaching you to inherit God's promises. I'm teaching you. Because once you get that, you will not be the same. Let us conclude 2017 as a different man. And a woman of God. Amen. God wants to change us. Then he went on. What does it mean by through our knowledge of Him who called us? You know, divine power is granted to us through the divine knowledge, or rather the knowledge of Him who called us. This knowledge is like a prisoner of war being kept in a camp. Hopelessly, they are trying to get out of the camp. They try their means to find ways to dig the hole and try to escape. But they discovered it was helpless. They were helpless and they were hopeless in getting out from that place. Then one fine day, a plane flew and threw down these pamphlets. News, great news. The war has ended. The war has, I want you to imagine with me, the prisoner of war picking it up, the pamphlet, and saying, the war has ended. Do you see something? The knowledge about the war has ended is one thing, but the experience about the war has ended is another thing. That is exactly what Peter is saying. The divine power that you know about is different when you have the divine power which you know within and experience it. Brothers and sisters, this is the same experience God wants all of us. I can tell you about salvation and you know about salvation. Theologically, you probably tell me what salvation is. But it's not enough until you experience it. Until you experience it. I received Jesus Christ through a man in my housemate who simply tells me this. He said, "Kelvin, I can tell you how good God is, but you will never understand." And then he took an apple and he said, "You know what? If I were to tell you how sweet this apple is, you will never understand." And I take a bite and I say, "Wow, it's so juicy," but you will never understand. Why? Because you have not tasted it. Why don't you take this apple and taste it yourself? And then you will know that it is juicy. Very simple illustration, which I decided, I said to him, I said, "I will. But if I taste it and it's not juicy, I can throw it away." He says, "Kelvin, nobody's going to stop you if you just throw it away." So I said, "Okay, I'll receive Christ because I want to taste him and see how good he is." I've been a believer since 1981 till today. I've tasted it, experienced it, and I truly say, God is good.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen. And not only that, I learned that the power of God is going to change every situation in my life. And one of the reasons why he wants to change all situations in my life so that I will be geared towards the image of Christ. All situations. God changes everything just simply to gear me towards the image of Jesus Christ. That's why sometimes we wonder, why am I going through such a bad time? I'll tell you why. Which most of us do not think. Every bad situation is actually the means of God to shape you into His Son's image. Every bad situation. You may not be happy about it. You may be frustrated about it. I can tell you one thing. No matter how you feel about it, the purpose of God is to get everything through into your life, and through that, you will never be the same, and your image will be changed unto the image of Christ. Amen. Verse 4 says this. If you look at verse 4, through this, His glory and excellence, He has granted us His precious and what? Very great promises. That through this word "these" referred to the promises. You may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. Wow. Become partakers of the... We just read and saw the source that's helping us. Now he says, but so doing, you become partakers of the divine nature. I learned this amazing grace. The grace, the glory, and the excellence of God that is going to trade my impoverished life, my poor life, for His riches. God wants to trade that. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
God wants to trade your impoverished life into His riches of glory. That's what He wants to do. And so, if you read very carefully in verse 4 and you read verse 3, you can literally see the knowledge and godliness in verse 3 is very much interpreted in verse 4. Can I say that one more time? The knowledge and godliness in verse 3 is interpreted in verse 4. The knowledge that leads our life and godliness is said to be the knowledge of God's precious and very great promises. Okay? The knowledge of our life and godliness is very much said about in the knowledge of God in His promises. That is the reason why we want to encourage you today to be partakers of the divine nature. Why did He say that in verse 4? Why did He say the way He said? You must understand, He was talking to people from Hellenistic worldview. Hellenistic simply means people who live within the Greek culture after Alexander the Great. These are Hellenistic people. And this is what they believe. They believe that you and I cannot escape the corruption. Because our bodies are attached to the nature of evil. So the Hellenistic view is such that you cannot escape. But Peter, when he wrote that, he was speaking against the Hellenistic worldview. He says, you can. The promises of God is given. You can escape through the promises of God. And then you can become partakers of the divine nature. You see, church, I realize this very important truth here. Participating in the divine nature necessitates all of us to forsake our sin and our lusts in the bodies. That means to say, if you and I are not willing to let go of your sin, you're not willing to let go of your past, then it is impossible to partake the divine nature. Ah, saw that? This is what Peter is saying. Only when you let go, I have enough. I don't want my idiosyncrasies. I don't want my stubbornness. I don't want that ugly habits. I don't want that. I refuse to have that. I reject it in Jesus' name. I renounce it in Jesus. Only when you do that, then you will find ways to get into the divine nature. Are you with me today? Does it make sense? Somebody say amen. All right, good. Verse 3 tells us the knowledge of God's call to glory empower all of us for life and godliness. And verse 4, the promises of God liberates us from corruption and give us a share in the divine nature. Verse 4 is what we have been talking about throughout the year, inherit God's promises. There are two things we need to know. These are the two things that will help you to see why we need God's promises. To be liberated from the power of sin that corrupts, that destroys your life. John 10:10 tells us that the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and life abundantly. Amen. Amen? Amen? And you know what? As you begin to proceed further, He says to be united to God in His likeness. That is why we need the promises of God. Look at verse 4 again. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, sometimes a lot of believers, as throughout my experience as a pastor, believers like to justify their actions and their desires. They don't like anyone to tell them it's wrong. Christians don't like to be told it's wrong. It's very sad. It's very sad. When our desire for good things becomes so great in our lives, sometimes it eclipses the relationship that we ought to have with God and our desire for God. Until then, you and I can never build a strong relationship. Simply means this. When you allow your service to God overrides your relationship. Sometimes you allow the blessing to override your relationship. Sometimes we allow many other things, even include children, to override their relationship with God. We need to be very careful. He says that through the promise you may participate in the divine nature. The purpose of having that source is to become a different person, a godly person. And how do we have that? We can only have that through the knowledge of God. We need to have the knowledge of God. That knowledge is about that relationship. But instead of allowing the divine power work inside us, that through His knowledge, we can participate the divine nature. We justify all our action. Oh, you know, we have all the excuses. Oh, no, I'm not going. I feel lousy today. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in the house of God on Sunday. I don't want to. I'm busy. I grew up as a pastor. When my children is not well, we take all that we have and bring to church and put our kids in the room while my wife looks after and I will still preach the word. If I were to give an excuse and say, my kid is not well, therefore I can't come, find another speaker. How many of you know when you have a kid, your kid is not always healthy, isn't it? Sometimes you get sickness, right? You still bring them to church. Unless and until some of us say, oh, he's coughing too much. Yeah, fine. The mother will stay back, look after the child, and I'll still come to church. You understand what I'm talking about? Do not use any of those excuses to justify. Because the divine nature of God is working in your life to be given all to Jesus. Can I hear that one more time? All to Jesus. We are not here to give ourselves part to Jesus. We are not here to give some to Jesus. We are giving all to Jesus. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yes, Lord, I love you so much, but today, if it rains, I can't come. That is not all. We got to come back and face the reality of this truth that is discovered by Peter. Do not let your blessings override your relationship. Man is created unto the likeness, but we have lost that image. During the time of Adam and Eve, we have lost that image. Mankind has lost the image of God. Evidently, we saw people are becoming more selfish than anybody else. In this country, we are so dependent. People are so dependent on the welfare to the point that if they don't get, then they're angry. Selfishness has crept into the society. Everything is what I want. What I want. If they don't give me, I'm not going to vote for them. Isn't it true? Sometimes they keep asking for more and more and more. We live in a society that is hedonistic, very fleshly. We live in a society that's so full of lust and personal pleasure. We hear of rape, we hear of murder. We live in a society where people destroy others in order to uplift themselves. This kind of society that we live in, it's so full of violence. We have lost the image of God. The corruption of our nature continues to grow. and you wonder how can we do anything about it. But I want you to know one good news here. In fact, Apostle Paul, he declared to the Athenian philosophers, and he said to them that we are offspring of God. Have you heard that? You read that? Offspring of God. If you look at the original word for the offspring, it is the Greek word translated offspring as genos. That's where you get the word for gene. G-E-N-E. That means when you have God, the divine power is bringing back that nature, that divine, that the image of God in us, that gene in us, the genos of God. He wants to recreate the genos of God so that you have God's DNA. Hallelujah. God's DNA. We need to live with that. Mankind today tries to be God, and by destroying the order of God, by telling people that it's okay for the man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. That's how they approve it. But we know scientists and doctors cannot deny these facts. If you study the genes enough, the DNA enough, you will know no matter what operation you take, no matter what medication you take, no matter what sort of things that you have done to your body, your DNA tells you who you are. Somebody say amen. Amen. Can't change that. Because it's God's signature inside you. Are you with me? You can't run away from that. You can deny it. You can lie. You can do anything you want. You cannot force God to say, this is not true. Because to Him, He has created mankind according to His truth. I pray, brothers and sisters, that all of us, through the knowledge of God, we have the DNA. Verse 4 says, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. With the DNA today, I can live and participate in His divine nature. Somebody say amen. When I begin to participate more and more and more and more of His divine nature, the DNA of God becomes so real. Amen. I walk in His DNA every day. I walk according to His power. I walk according to His nature. I walk according to His anointing. Because that is God's DNA. You don't go out of this place walking by yourself. You walk not alone. You walk with the presence of God. Because the DNA is right inside there. Amen. Notice the word "and" in the scripture. He says, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The moment you grow in the divine nature, the DNA grow in you. Listen carefully. You will escape the corruption of this world. You need not have to participate in any of these evil desires that is in this world. Jeremiah tells me very clearly that one can enjoy the DNA. He says this in Jeremiah 17, 7, verse 8, very quickly. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Listen to this. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Somebody say amen. In case if you are not, you can't remember what I said. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. It's a beautiful verse. It's a very powerful verse. That anyone who has confidence in it, anyone who lives by God's DNA, your leaf will always be green. Hallelujah. Your roots will always be spread out. And you will always enjoy the fruit of God's word. 2017 is ending. Another few more hours. God's promises are meant for us to inherit and live on God's divine nature. You and I do not remain. You do not need to remain in the fashion of this world. the effects of the corruption and moral decay. They are all clear signs that something is not right. But there is something better ahead of us. Are you there?
Yeah.
There's something better ahead of us. I want to close with this. Beautiful, illustrated by the very great man of God of old, D.L. Moody. While he was standing before the audience and shared a word, and he wanted to conclude, he took a glass, empty glass, and showed to the audience. He says, "How can I remove the air from this cup?" The students said, "Suck it out." And D.L. Moody says, "It's impossible. Because if I were to create, if I were to suck it out, it will create a vacuum and it will shatter the glass." And then they came up with all kinds of answers. And D.L. Moody turned around and took a picture of water, a jug of water, and he poured it into the glass. And he says, "This is how you remove the air in a glass. You can remove the air in a glass only by filling in the water." Are you there? "You can only remove your filthiness and dirt of life by filling in the presence of God. When you have God's promises inside you, the work of divine nature begins. And when you begin to grow through the knowledge of knowing Him, the divine nature of God works inside you to make you become a different person. And all the more when you have the work being done, then beautifully crafted, you can now have the DNA of God and participate in the divine nature." Wow. Now you can participate in the divine nature. You can participate in the power. You can participate in the glory of God. So why Christians should live their ordinary life? Christians, listen, conclude 2017, you can live an extraordinary life. No such thing as Christian living an ordinary life. We walk like one, that's very unfortunate, but we must not today. We can live under the power of God. Somebody say,
amen.
Amen. That's 2017. Let us come and inherit God's promises, and you will never be the same. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to receive God's promises and say, "I will not be the same anymore"? This is what God wants. If you feel that your cup is so empty without mud, then fill it up with the promises of God. Fill it up with the presence of God. Fill it up, and you will know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will never be the same again. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410 985 432, or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.